you're going to be one who scorns prophecies. But be faithful to examine them by putting them to the test, and afterward hold tightly to what has proven to be right. We know prophecy had a place to play in Timothy's life. Definitely. If you look at 1 Timothy 1:18, and the New American Standard said, inspiration or encouragement by the Holy Spirit. It says, this command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. So when I say that, when I say prophecy, this gentleman, Greg Moore, got up to speak a message that he had prepared and ready to go. And as we were in worship, worshiping the Lord with these 60 pastors, all of a sudden when he got up there, this guy said, I'm going a different direction. God's put something on my heart. I've got to deliver this. And so as he began to speak this and deliver this, it was like the Lord was just putting me and Gene just putting things in our heart, right in our spirit, of encouragement, of about this church, about this body, about purpose of this body. Everybody obviously has a purpose. We love the churches and pray for the churches in our area that believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that only by the cross of Jesus can we have remission of sins. Amen? But for our body, if this is going to be your body, we have a purpose. Amen? And so as he began to speak and declare things, he didn't say to Chad, thus saith the Lord, but we knew as he began to speak that the Spirit, that God had changed that and prophetically started putting things in our hearts regarding this church. And I tell you what, that's exciting. Amen. And so as he began to speak, the scriptures that he started giving or relaying during this time that he was speaking, just started, wow, Lord, that's this body. And that's Hebrews 12:12-13 in the New American Standard Bible. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people out there right now that hands are weak and their knees are feeble. They're weak. And as the Lord started speaking in my heart, he started speaking to me about there's a lot of believers out there. They love Jesus with all their heart. They have a heart for God, but through circumstances, whether of their own or in a church or whatever the circumstances are, they're not in a body, they're disconnected, and they're weak and they're feeble. They love the Lord, but for whatever circumstances, they're in this situation. And there's a lot of those out there in our neighborhoods, on our jobs, in our towns, around. There's a lot of people like that. They're weak. I believe in Jesus, but circumstances of my life, something's happened now where basically I've given up hope. I meet them all the time in my line of work, people I come into contact with. You do too. If you start talking to people, if you start mentioning things of faith, you'll find, I'm shocked sometimes, some of the people that I know that be going to a body, or I did go to a body, or even 10 or 20 years ago, I went to a church. And yes, I believe in Jesus, but because of this circumstances, this event, this particular event, or these particular events took place in my life, and now I've lost all confidence in the church for whatever reason. I've lost all confidence in myself, and so they become weak and they become feeble. Many of us can say that. I've been there. We were weak and feeble, and through a body, through a declaration of a message of truth of the gospel of grace, God began to breathe new hope in us. God began to breathe new strength in us. He would declare things in our lives, and things began to happen, and a confidence came back that we never imagined we were going to get again. A restoration, in other words. Amen? A restoration of a person's spiritual life. Verse 12 again. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Verse 13 says, and make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is impaired may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. There's a lot of people out there that are dislocated. See, you and I, we're going to talk more as he began to continue to speak and declare that impacted my life. There's a lot of people out there that are dislocated. See, we're a body. And when you talk about, when Jesus talks about the body, and Paul talks about the body, he starts using terms like some of you are a mouth, and some of you a foot, some of you a hand, whatever. See, we are joint heirs, but we're ligaments and pieces together forming one body. And in this scripture, saying there's a lot of people out there that are dislocated. They're not part of the body. They love the Lord. They love Jesus. They're born again, but they've been dislocated, and they're on their own. They're weak, they're feeble, they're impaired, they're dislocated, but it says, but rather be healed. I think we're coming to a time with everything that's happened in the last year, year and a half, where God is healing his body. Those that have been dislocated, those who have, yes, I love the Lord, but they haven't been apart. There's a weakness, there's something there where they've been lame. And God's coming to a time and said, I'm healing the lame. Come all ye that are weary and heavy laden. So to have your spiritual life strengthened again, to be restored. Amen. To be healed. For your confidence and direction once again in the Lord to be motivated by his spirit within you, directing you into his purposes. And I say it over and over again, everybody that's born again, those things that God has placed within us for direction and purpose in our lives. There's many people out there that have been dislocated, they're not part of the body, that we need to bring in again. Amen? There's room for you at the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday, the day before, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. There is room for you at the cross. There's many people out there who bought the lie and it's too late. People buying out there that I've committed the unpardonable sin. I have a heart for God. I love the Lord, but because of doctrine that I've listened to that was a part of my life, it's actually crippled me, and now I'm dislocated and not a part of the body. Thank you, Lord, for a time of restoration, of healing, of wholeness in your body. So as Greg began to declare this scripture, I said, that's it. That's one of the things that this church is definitely about. Healing the brokenhearted. Giving hope where there's been hopelessness. Amen. Declaring the gospel of grace to people. To say, no, if you haven't committed the unpardonable sin, or you wouldn't care. Or this sin here hasn't disqualified you. Come back. He loves you. He'll forgive you. Come on back. Come home. Let those hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble be strengthened. Let those dislocated joints be healed now in Jesus' name. Amen. So a lot of people out there that are believers, they don't attend church, but they love Jesus. I said that. Matter of fact, they love Jesus with all their heart, but they become weak. They become disillusioned, their hands are weak, and their knees are feeble. And we talked about how in many circumstances of life, the enemy has lied to people like that. We thank the Lord that he's doing a time of restoration, I believe. I thank God that this church is going to be a church of restoration. Amen? Amen? But you know what? There's no pastor. As your pastor, no person can do it alone. Amen? And I want to talk a little bit about Apostle Paul. Now, Apostle Paul, he's a mighty man of God, right? The greatest missionary there's ever been, right? He's the one that God gave this revelation of the gospel of grace. Wow, man, would you agree? He's a mighty man of God. But I'm going to tell you, reading these scriptures right here just opened my eyes. 2 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul could not do it on his own. The Apostle Paul did not want to do it on his own. He could not do it on his own. But let these scriptures open your eyes as well. 2 Corinthians 12 and 13 in the Amplified Version. Verse 12 saying, now when I arrived at Troas, to preach the good news of Christ. Even though a door of opportunity, listen to these scriptures, even though a door of opportunity opened for me in the Lord, my spirit could not rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So saying goodbye to them, I left for Macedonia. He said, man, I had an open door. An open door of opportunity, but I couldn't find my brother Titus, my right-hand man. And I couldn't be in rest. I could have maybe grabbed somebody else, or I could have said, hey, this door of opportunity is open. But he said, I couldn't find rest. I didn't know where Titus was. So even though I had this door of opportunity, I can't do this on my own. I left to go find Titus. Isn't that amazing? Even the great apostle Paul saying, this opportunity, but my brother's not with me. I don't have somebody marching with me, walking with me, ministering with me, helping me, encouraging me in my struggles, or just the things that we face in life. Is that even though that ministry was wide open, I could find no rest. Amen. So when you go to Hebrews 12, 14 and 15, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 7, sorry, Bill, 2 Corinthians 7, 5 and 6, he says, for even when we arrived in Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were oppressed on every turn. Conflicts and disputes without, fears and dread within, but God who comforts and encourages the depressed and the disquieted comforted us by the arrival of who? Titus. So here we had an open door, but he says, I'm out of here until I find Titus. And then he actually goes to a place, Macedonia, where there's conflicts and fears. Is there the depressed and things coming against him? And it says in the Bible, even to the point of like he thought he was going to lose his life. But he'd rather been there because he found Titus. He left the open door, the supposed place of God's provision, and he went into an area that was very difficult for him just to find his brother Titus. Amen? He knew with fellowship and with working with Titus, he says, for this thing to work like it should, even the great apostle Paul, I've got to have Titus with me. I'll go into conflict. I'll go into struggle. It was a great, difficult time, but I was comforted when I saw Titus. Amen. Believe in that saying, what's it? We can't do it on our own. Amen. God, we got to be pulling the same direction, one of one heart, one of cord, to have his anointing and his provision and blessing on our lives. Amen. You know that just if you're married here, to have that blessing and that peace and that strength, you got to be pulling the same direction, right? You got to have your sidekick. We can't do it on our own. Amen. We need one another. You said, Chad, you may be thinking, Pastor Chad, you've been saying this for weeks now. It's what the Lord keeps laying on my heart to speak. As we were there at the army meeting, God began to lay that on my heart again. Even the great apostle Paul. I don't care about an open door. I can't do it on my own. Where's Titus? I got to have Titus. I'll go into a difficult situation. I'll go into a difficult struggle just so I can find Titus. Amen. Amen. You and I doing this together, there's the things we got to be aware of as God is mending or putting our hearts together as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We got to understand there's going to be where the enemy's going to try to come in and put little things. When he sees a work of God, when he sees unity in a body, he's going to try to divide. Amen? And if you've been married at all, you know that's what the enemy tries to do. Amen? Close brothers, friendships, the enemy tries to come in and divide, to make us alone, to be isolated. But that's never going to be the way of blessing for God, being isolated. It's never going to be the way he designed it. Amen? When it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, there is total oneness in heaven. Amen? They'll know you're my disciples. I have a scripture here. By your love for one another. It didn't say by your mighty works. didn't say, by your miracles, which are awesome, God is powerful, he still does mighty things, but he didn't say that they'll know that you're my disciples by those works. He says, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. Amen? Easy. It's easy here in America because you can pull into your garage, close the door, I've said it before, and then not even see your neighbor. Amen? But that's not what God is touching our hearts. People are going to be coming to us. People are going to be wanting to know the answer. And you know what? The thing is, as you're giving that answer, did you know God is healing you? If you're waiting for yourself to become to a certain position or what you think of in your spiritual walk or strength to start reaching out to people or being encouraging to people, you'll never do it. It's encouraging others right where you are will actually strengthen and encourage you. When we the thing that God's placed within us, as we begin to let it out, God continues. It's a flow. Amen. It's like those that are givers of their money. It's funny how they're givers, but God keeps that flow going. God's looking for people that he can flow through. God is looking for people that he can flow through. Amen. How about you? I'm going to be one of those individuals. I am one of those individuals that God flows through. How about you? Encouraging word. We don't realize the little things that we do, how impactful they are to people. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says, pursue peace with all people and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. I want to change and say, so for change gears a little bit, just as for us to be aware of the schemes of the enemy. 15, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. Short of the grace of God. Well, how? How could one become short of the grace of God? Well, let's continue. That no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. You know, false prophets and false leaders are those who have been offended and bitterness has overtaken them. And then they start railing. They start becoming judges. We've talked about that before. Bitterness and resentment. Offenses have taken over and they separate from the body of Christ. And all of a sudden, they start hearing or seeing things that they say is God, but it's actually a deception. It's not the Lord. It defiles many that hear that. That bitterness, that resentment, that anger, those hurts. People out of hurt like that, where that bitterness sets in, actually becoming enemies of the gospel of grace. As they begin to slander others, as they begin to judge others, you see it over, you think of Korah, the rebellion against Moses. Who are you to lead us, Moses? Moses is saying, I didn't ask for this. Who are you? And the ground opened up and swallowed Korah and his rebellion. You know, with the grace of God, we don't walk in that type of rebellion. Amen. I'm thankful that in past times of rebellion in my life, that God forgave me. He didn't open up the ground and swallow me. He could have. Amen. But thank God, with his grace, his kindness leading us to repentance. Amen. He didn't open up that ground. He kept me alive. He kept his hand upon me. The goodness of the Lord leading us to repentance. The Lord knowing that I just had a wrong impression of who he was. I didn't understand his kindness and his love. He knew that until the time and the appointed time in my life that he revealed his goodness to me. Amen. Then the years of hardship of not understanding his goodness, I was so thankful. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't forsake me. Thank you that you didn't lead me to my own devices. But your kindness of like breakers of water just overflowing me. His love just revealing his goodness to me. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave me in my bitterness, in my resentment, in my anger, my hurts. Thank you that you've healed those things, Father God. Thank you that now I can see your body through a healthy, whole heart. I'm not picking at it. Not picking at it. I want to be an encouragement for the body. Encouraging the body. To draw from his strength, to draw from his grace, to draw from his goodness. Like I mentioned, you might be saying today, Pastor Chad, why have you been speaking so much on unity lately? It's because God is wanting to do something, I think, powerful within this church, and it will not happen without unity. So be ready, saints, as God adds to our body, offenses will come, but will you allow yourself to be offended? It's just going to happen. Will you allow yourself to be offended? Will you allow those things to take root, to make you separate from the church? Or you, out through love, allow the Lord to mature you, to actually pull people in, maturity. If you allow those things, resentments, whatever, to set in, it starts separating your heart from the body. That's not what He designed the body to be. Amen. Father, we thank You for that today. We thank You for that today, Lord. Thank You, Father. Ephesians 4:13 in the Amplified Version says, what about this unity? It says, until we reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting His spiritual completeness, and experiencing our spiritual gifts in unity. Hallelujah, Father, we thank You for that. So as Greg Moore was speaking this, the Lord just started laying on our hearts to be a place for once again, for those that are not a part of a body, maybe disjointed, given up, discouraged. Amen. Oh man, God loves those people. Wants to bring healing. We don't want to be ones that judge those or don't care. God's right now is bringing people in by the droves. Those His children that are not part of a body. God works through a church, brothers and sisters. I don't know. I don't understand it either. But He works through a body. He works through a body of believers. We're His kingdom on the earth. It's amazing. When things come in where people, those things, all offenses, people will actually remove themselves from the body, remove themselves from a particular body, and then that's it. Now, I'm not saying there's not abuses in a body. I'm not saying there's not reasons. But I know there's a true body where people can fit in and be healed. I know there's a true body where people can experience what God has for their lives. It'll never be perfect. Because we're human beings, you're not saying that church was perfect until I showed up. Amen? Your pastor will never be perfect. He's growing too. Amen? You'll never be perfect. But that's why it says to love one another. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Amen? As people come in, as God begins to grow things, grows people, as God begins to speak in your heart, what He wants to do in your life. Only He can do that through His Spirit. Amen? As God will do that. People, when they've been downcast for years, and they get a glimmer of the hope of the mercy and the grace of God, the life that comes into that type of person is awesome. I know from my own experiences. How about you? That there can be wholeness, restoration, peace. 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 Health in our own skin, feeling comfortable with the Lord Jesus Christ, that He loves us. That's what heals an individual's heart. Amen? It's not rolling up the sleeves and saying, well, let me give it another try. Where's that list? See if I can get that taken care of again. Let me see if I can get rid of this, get rid of that, and then we just cycle again. Just cycle. I don't know about you, but I don't want to cycle anymore. No more cycling. I want to be able to rest in His forgiveness and grow that way, and then have a heart say, okay, God, I could focus on what You have for me. That put a microscope on my struggles again. But it only happens through a body. So that part where Paul, isn't that amazing? That open door. I'm out of here. I got to find Titus. We thank You for that, Lord. So that as we were at that conference and just the ministry that was coming through those individuals, just it was for ministers. We went there not thinking that we were just wanting to know about Army. Can we be a part of it? We were not anticipating what God was going to do in our hearts. I wanted to bring that back to you. You know, I think of one thing mentioned before is I want to think about what resentment or bitterness can do. You remember Simon the sorcerer in Acts? And he got saved. And then he had to be the big shot. So he went to Peter and said, "Hey, I want to pay you for this gift that you have of laying hands and people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And it's shocking that what Peter said, he says, "You don't have any part of this. I perceive that you're full of bitterness." He perceived that. Amen? And you think, so those things, because he was a false prophet. He was stooped in bitterness and unforgiveness, not even blind and not realize where he was at spiritually, what was going on in his life. He just figured, if I can be seen again, because he was somebody who worked magic, you know, and people were getting saved. He's like, "Man, I'm no longer the dude, the man. How am I going to become the man again? How much do you want for that gift, Peter? I'll pay you for that. When I lay hands on people too." Deep in resentment and bitterness blinds us. We're not willing to serve one another. We don't know why, but we're not willing to serve one another. We're not willing to yield to one another. Those are the things that happen when there's those rents, those resentments and bitterness. Amen. Talking about this, the one gal was talking about honoring one another. And she talked about honoring one another in a body, what that means. Powerful. Honoring you guys. Me serving you, my position as a pastor, honoring you guys, wanting to see the very best that God has for you. That's my job. That's my job. My job is not to come to your house at 2 a.m. and pray for your cat. Just an example. Nothing wrong with cats here. Right? When people have the confidence to lay hands on people, pray for the sick. And I got this, the same spirit that's in Pastor so-and-so, whatever that bald guy's name is. Right? The same spirit that's in him is in me. I can minister to you. I don't have to, as I grow in you, I don't have to turn this over to Pastor Chad or so-and-so. I have this. I can give you the good news. I have the good news in me. Let me tell you what God's done in my life. And minister to the person, that person. That's how the kingdom of God is to work. Not turning it over to a pastor. My job is to encourage you. What does God have for you? To encourage you that you go forth and the maturity of the body as we reach those out there. It's multiplication, amen? When Jesus said, "Great, the works that I do, you shall do too, and greater works than this," that's because there was going to be more of them. Multiplication, amen? God is all about math. So talking about the honoring of one another. There's an anointing in honoring one another. And there's an anointing in honoring one another. We sometimes want to make everything really super spiritual, but here's the most spiritual thing I think I learned this weekend is honoring one another. Blessing one another. Amen? Loving one another. His strength in our lives through honoring one another. Amen. Also talk, it's kind of works how it works with families. Honoring one another. Learning how to honor. You know, you have the letter of the law to honor your mother and father so that you might have a long life on earth, right? Something about an anointing of honoring one another. You know, I'll read that and say, what's that mean? But boy, did I learn about honoring my parents through Pastor Lee. I've read that thing where it said, honor your mom and dad. But when I saw his example to honoring his parents, it opened up my eyes. Being gracious to people. Gracious to your... So glad that I learned how to honor my difficult grandmother the last 6 or 7 years of her life. Because it was shown to me. Somebody showed me through grace, through graciousness, how to honor somebody else. Amen. Father, we thank you for that. As we honor, I'm not going to get to my message next week. It's going to be what in the world is going on. Talking about the believer's authority. If I start on that now, we'll be here till 12:15. Are you guys okay if I start on that next week? But I wanted to deliver to you what was delivered to me this week at the Army Conference. Honoring, loving one another. Making sure, as believers, it says we know the enemy's schemes. And for the body of Christ, the first scheme is, can I get them to have resentment towards one another? Can I put division amongst them? Because once that happens, it's over. It's over. He can't flow like he would want to at that point. As we have the worship team come together, come up. How are you?
I look a little black and spots.
How are you? Young man, how are you? Good to see you. Great to have you here. Amen. Yeah. Is it going to be quick? Real quick? Amen. Amen, brother. Come on. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Then God said, be fruitful and multiply. I was watching on TV. I was watching my wife. But thank you this morning for making me feel.
Yes.
I'm going to feel comfortable anyway. I walk down, I'm going to sit in the front.
The first thing
they ask you when you walk in the door, can I help you? I might want to get saved, but you in the way. You can't help me. I can't. You can do everything but fail.
Good morning. Did you want to talk to someone? Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Can we stand together?
There'll be a move of God when there's unity. You believe that? God, that's what God's doing. So as I mentioned down there, as we finish up there, God made it plain. Unity. We know that the schemes of the devil, don't allow him to bring those resentments, bitterness, unforgiveness. Not because we disqualify ourselves then, because we pull away. You know, in a marriage, when you get those little things and then you quit talking, you kind of, that gives place for the enemy. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. So, Father, we thank you for unity again. We thank you. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you for unity, Father. We thank you for power as a group. We thank you for your power as a group, loving one another, forgiving one another, as it says in 1 Peter 4. Love each other. It says, love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins, our imperfections. We thank you for that today. As you bring unity afresh and anew in the body of Christ, not only in Chino Valley Family Church, but across America, in Jesus' name we declare that. And we thank you, Father, for that today. We thank you for your anointing and your presence in unity, Father God, as a body. We bless you and honor you today, Father God. Just one more sentence. Just say, Lord, I receive that today. Lord, I receive that. I receive that for me. Lord, I want everything you have for me. I don't want to be deceived by the enemy. Lord, I want to be knowledgeable. I want wisdom on his deceptive ways. Lord, show me his deceptive ways. Lord, if there's deceptive ways in our lives, Lord, reveal those things so that we can be free from them and move on. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to sing a worship song and be released. Amen.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. And what a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name.